some more coffee, will you? And switch off the radio. It jars my nerves. What's the time?
Just on 11.
Oh, thank goodness I don't have to be at the studios this morning.
I brought you the papers and the post.
There's an article in this one about me.
Oh, is there, miss? Mm.
Oh, here it is. Love and career can mix, says screen star Helen Desmond.
Oh, a lovely picture of you.
Where are the letters?
Here you are.
Oh, I wonder who this is from.
Oh, whatever's wrong?
This letter. This letter. Read it. Read it.
BBC presents A Case for Dr. Morell, another adventure by Ernest Dudley, with Cecil Parker as the famous Dr. Morell and Sheila Sim as his secretary, Miss Frayle. Threat to kill.
Hello, this is Dr. Morell's house.
Is Dr. Morell there?
Oh, he's engaged at the moment, I'm afraid. Who is that speaking?
My name is Digby, Hal Digby.
Can I help you? I'm Dr. Morell.
Famous Miss Frayle.
Oh, yes, I am Miss Frayle, though I don't know about being famous.
Oh, I've heard about you as well as Dr. Morell, of course.
Yes, of course.
Well, I'm speaking from the Zenith Film Studios, and I was wondering if Dr. Morell could come out and see me.
At the film studios?
If he could.
Oh, I'd love it. I've never seen a film being made.
Well, get Dr. Morell to bring you, Miss Frayle. We'll give you a test.
A test, Mr. Digby?
A film test. You never know. He may make a film star out of you.
Oh, Mr. Digby.
Seriously, Miss Frayle, I'm in trouble. Only your Dr. Morell can get me out of it. I've got to see him.
Well, I know it's impossible until late this afternoon.
How late, Miss Frayle? Name your own time and I'll send a car.
I might arrange it for 5 o'clock, Mr. Digby. Yes, I think that will be all right.
Come in.
Dr. Morell for you, Mr. Digby.
I couldn't be more pleased to see you, Doctor.
Good afternoon.
Okay, Miss Curtis, and don't let anyone disturb us.
Very good, Mr. Digby.
By the way, Dr. Morell, isn't Miss Frayle with you?
No, there was rather a lot of work for her to do.
Oh, too bad. She'd have enjoyed looking around the studios. You've got a couple of interesting pictures on the floor.
I'm sure.
Still, when there's a lot of work to be done, eh? I expect she calls you a bit of a slave driver, too.
What was that?
Oh, just my little joke. That's what they think I am here.
Indeed. For a moment, I... Never mind.
Anyway, nobody's ever wanted to kill your Miss Frayle.
I don't quite follow.
That's the threat that Miss Desmond received this morning. Helen Desmond, you know, our biggest box office bet.
I am not well informed on public entertainment figures. Someone has threatened to kill her.
That's why I've asked you here.
Isn't this a police matter?
Oh, they're keeping an eye on her. The trouble is, they don't take it very seriously. You can't blame them. They suspected some publicity stunt. But Helen, Miss Desmond, is in a dreadful panic. She's convinced that someone means to do her in.
What is your own opinion?
Well, I feel a bit uneasy about the whole thing, which is again why I thought of you.
How was this threat conveyed to Miss Desmond?
Well, she got a letter this morning, anonymous, of course, from the wife of some fan who's seen all her films and fallen in love with her. I've got it here. What do you think of it, Doctor?
This was delivered to Miss Desmond's private address?
Yes. Her ordinary fan mail comes to the studio, of course, and it's handled by the publicity department. Well, for Pete's sake, that was quick of you. Well,
since her private address would be available only to her friends, it should narrow the field.
Definitely. It's possible for an ordinary member of the public to obtain her address, but very unlikely. It's a closely guarded secret.
This must have occurred to the police.
Yes, maybe. But I tell you, they think it's a publicity stunt. Why, it didn't occur to me until you sparked the idea.
It's a most viciously worded letter. I can understand Miss Desmond's apprehension.
She's scared stiff. She's due to work tomorrow, but she won't come to the studio whilst this is hanging over her. She knows it'll hold up the schedule, but she couldn't care less. I tell you, Dr. Morell, they're an ungrateful lot. You build them up from nothing, and then they turn round and spit in your eye.
Why, then, do you go to the trouble, Mr. Digby?
Oh, what else can I do? The public wants stars. You've got to give them what they want. That's how I built up Zenith Films.
Would you say Miss Desmond has a wide circle of friends?
Of course. She's in the money. You understand?
I understand, Mr. Digby.
And there are some of the studio employees.
Mr. Digby.
What is it, Miss Curtis? I thought I told
you. It's Mr. Kavanagh.
I don't care.
You think I'm standing for this, Digby?
What the devil's the idea?
I'll tell you. As if you didn't know.
Can't you see I'm in conflict?
I don't care if you're in Perda. This has got to stop. All this publicity for her and not a word about me.
What are you...
Look at the evening headlines.
Oh, Mr. Kavanagh, please.
Look, Helen Desmond receives threatening letter. Film star Helen Desmond's death threat. Threat to famous film star Helen Desmond.
Now listen, you...
Aren't I one of your stars, too? Aren't I co-starring with her in this picture?
This isn't any publicity stunt. Helen's being threatened.
Are you kidding? This is your handiwork. It smells of it.
I didn't even know the press had got hold of it.
The newspapers have been full of stuff about her ever since you... Well, everyone knows about you and her.
Get out.
I'm going. But if there isn't more of me and less of her, I quit. Contract or no contract.
I said get out.
Perhaps that'll make him realize I'm not going to be kicked around.
Oh, Mr. Kavanagh, you shouldn't have burst in like that.
Why should she get all the breaks?
It's quite true what Mr. Digby says. Miss Desmond's life has been threatened.
Don't make me laugh.
What's eating the great profile?
Oh, shut up, Ashton, and get out of my way.
Forgive me for breathing the same air.
I'm going to get on to my manager.
What is all that about, Miss Curtis?
Oh, he's convinced this threatening letter business has been worked up for publicity.
Everyone in the studio is talking about it. Isn't it a publicity stunt?
No, Mr. Ashton, truly it isn't. Mr. Digby's worried stiff about it. That's why he's called in Dr. Morell.
Dr. Morell, eh?
Yes, he's in there with him now. That was why it was so awful when Mr. Kavanagh burst in.
I wanted a word or two with Mr. Digby myself. That scene they're shooting tomorrow has got to be rewritten. I'll have to work on it tonight.
Well, if you don't mind waiting, Mr. Ashton, I daren't put my nose inside until Dr. Morell's gone.
That's all right, I'll wait. So he's called in Dr. Morell. Wouldn't mind being able to overhear what they're saying.
That's the sort of thing I have to put up with, Dr. Morell. Do you know what that swollen-headed moron was doing a couple of years ago?
I can't say I'm particularly interested.
Well, I'll tell you. Playing small parts in a third-rate rep. And look at him now. And by the way, you can ignore his insinuations about Helen and me. It just shows the sort of mixed-up kid he is.
I don't quite follow.
Well, you see, he's jealous of her success.
I rather gathered that.
And at the same time, he's half in love with her.
Are his somewhat confused feelings reciprocated?
Well, she's not jealous of him anyway. There's no need. She's worth a dozen Ronnie Kavanaghs at the box office. Whether she's a bit keen on him, too, I wouldn't know. He's attractive to women. Don't ask me why.
I'll refrain from doing so.
Doctor, will you go and see her? You can calm her fears, and at the same time, you may learn something that will put you on to whoever wrote this.
I shall call on Miss Desmond this evening.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Morell. Thanks a lot. I'll phone Helen that you're looking at 6:30, eh?
Very well.
So long, Doctor, and thanks a million.
Goodbye, Dr. Morell.
Goodbye, Miss Curtis.
What a marvellous-looking man. Don't you think so, Mr. Ashton?
Just your type, eh, Miss Curtis?
Get me Miss Desmond at her flat, Miss Curtis.
Yes, Mr. Digby. And Mr. Ashton is here to see you.
Oh, I'll see him when I've spoken to Miss Desmond.
Yes, Mr. Digby. He won't be long, Mr. Ashton.
Thanks.
Penny for your thoughts, Mr. Ashton.
Eh?
You had a funny expression then.
I was only thinking that it isn't Helen Desmond who ought to get bumped off, but Ronnie Kavanagh.
What luxurious flats, Dr. Morell. Just where one would imagine a film star to live.
I'm glad that you're suitably impressed.
Dr. Morell?
Yes?
Good evening, Mrs. Morell. Oh, no, I'm not Mrs. Morell.
This is Miss Frail, my secretary. Oh,
so sorry, Doctor. Please forgive me.
Oh, it doesn't matter in the least.
Will you come this way? Miss Desmond, Dr. Morell.
Hello there.
And Miss Frail.
Oh,
good evening, Miss Desmond.
Can I get you a drink, Doctor?
Not just now, thank you.
I was just trying to open this bottle of perfume. The stopper seems to have stuck.
Shall I try, Miss Desmond?
I'm sure Dr. Morell has strong hands.
Allow me.
You're very kind.
What a fascinating-looking bottle.
It's just arrived, made specially for me. How exclusive can you get?
Mm, it must be terribly expensive.
Have you done it, Dr. Morell? Oh, how wonderful of you.
You had omitted to remove the seal.
Had I? How silly of me.
Aren't you going to try it, Miss Desmond? I'm sure it must smell marvelously.
Put some on your hand.
Oh, thank you.
There.
Oh.
Well, don't you like it?
Oh, yes, it's just a bit strong.
Strong? Of course it's strong. It costs the earth. Have a sniff, Doctor.
Perfume doesn't appeal to me, although I'm sure it's delightful. From one of your admirers, no doubt.
How did you guess?
You say it arrived only today.
That's right. Why?
By post.
I don't see...
I'm interested in what people know your private address.
You mean that horrible letter I got this morning?
That's what I'm here for, to allay your fears, and at the same time discover the writer's identity.
I feel much safer now you're here. How wonderful it must be, Miss Frail, to have a job like yours.
Do you think so?
I'd give anything to change places with you and have such a marvelous boss. If people only knew the ghastly life I have to lead.
Oh, I should have thought it was rather fun.
Fun? Treated like a piece of merchandise, exploited by sharks like Hal Digby.
I thought your employer was quite agreeable. Rather more than Mr. Kavanagh, for instance.
Ronnie. Oh, I suppose he was throwing one of his temperaments again.
Oh, was that what it was?
Well, it's just an act. He's not really like that at all. He's vain, takes himself too seriously, but you have to in this racket. After all, the women throw themselves at him.
Do you find him attractive?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Why?
I was wondering.
He's mad about me. You weren't thinking that he'd... Oh, no, he may be jealous because I'm bigger box office than he is, but he...
It occurred to me that his emotions might have become mixed to the extent of warping his mind.
You mean, Doctor, each man kills the thing he loves?
That's not a bit like Ronnie. I know he wouldn't play a filthy trick like that on me. Now, that rat, Ashton, he's got a warped sense of humor.
Ashton?
The writer on this picture I'm making, Ted Ashton. He hates my soul.
Why should he hate you?
One of these highbrows. Doesn't think much of me just because I can't say his dialogue. Can I help it if I'm not an actress? What do they pay me for?
But you're a star, Miss Desmond.
Biggest box office Zenith ever had. But they don't queue up to see me act, but because I've got what it takes.
Oh, yes, I see.
And I give it to them on a plate.
Has it occurred to you, Miss Desmond, that since this letter was sent to your private address, it might have come from someone among your friends or acquaintances?
You mean... But of course you're right. It isn't someone I don't know at all.
It is more likely that was to cover up the writer's identity.
But if he or she was that clever, would they have made the mistake of not writing to the studio?
Ah, you see, Miss Desmond... The criminal can't help himself. Some inner compulsion, some subconscious force impels him to give himself away, to bring about his own self-destruction.
Thank you, Miss Frail. What Miss Frail means is that the letter had to be addressed to you here for it to have had the required effect. If it had gone to the studio, you might never have received it.
That's true. My fan mail comes in sackloads. I never see it, and I don't suppose the publicity boys bother with it either.
Well, if they had seen this letter... It would have been kept from you to save you unnecessary worry.
Oh, Dr. Morell.
Oh, what is it, Miss Desmond?
Oh, doctor, help me. I feel faint. It's the shock.
Lean back on this couch.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
Shall I get you something? A drink of water?
No. Just you stay by me, doctor, and I'll be all right. Let me take your hand. Such steel-like strength in it. It could be so gentle. I can feel your strength. Flowing into me.
And she says she can't act.
Realizing it's someone who knows me makes it seem so much more horrible.
We can't be sure of that. You may have had servants who gave your address away to a complete stranger.
Yes, I've had scores of dumb fools like the maid I've got now.
Business people may have inadvertently passed it on to others, or some tradesmen. It still isn't inconceivable that some unknown wrote to you for some stupid joke.
Now you're just trying to comfort me.
I can reassure you, for obviously, if it is a stranger playing a joke, you're in no danger.
I'm sure it's someone I know.
Then equally, you may be reassured.
How do you mean? They've threatened to kill me.
Can you think of any friend or acquaintance whom you would suspect?
People don't go about murdering just for nothing.
If there is anyone... who might have designs upon your life, all you have to do is to name them. Steps can then be taken to deal with whoever it is.
Well, I...
Can you think of anyone you know whom you seriously believe wants to kill you?
The way you put it, I suppose not.
There you are, Miss Desmond. You've nothing to worry about.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Morell. You've made me feel better. You can have your hand back now.
There is a 24-hour police watch being kept on you. A purely precautionary measure. It'll be the same at the studio.
Do you really think it's all right for me to work tomorrow?
You will be equally well guarded there.
Oh, I don't know. If you promise to see me safely there, I...
Well, really, Miss Desmond, that isn't necessary.
Oh, if you don't, I won't stir an inch. I'll only feel safe if you come down, too. Oh,
very well, I'll accompany you. Meanwhile, you can relax and sleep well.
I will, Doctor. I'll dream of you.
Good night, Miss Desmond.
Good night, Miss Desmond.
Come in.
It's Dr. Morell, Mr. Digby, and Miss Frail.
Hello there, Doctor.
Good morning. This is Miss Frail.
So, Miss Frail, you've come for your test after all.
Oh, Mr. Digby.
Miss Frail insisted upon accompanying me this time. I didn't realize how interested she is in behind the scenes of filming.
Or was she afraid of leaving you alone with that man-eater? You're just her type.
Well, I left Miss Desmond in her dressing room.
If it hadn't been for you, she wouldn't have been working today. You've certainly been a comfort to her. Eh, Miss Frail?
Mr. Digby, Mr. Kavanagh's on the phone. He says it's very urgent.
Kavanagh? All right, Miss Curtis, put him on, if you'll excuse me, Doctor. Digby here. What's on your mind now? What? Where are you speaking from? Okay, I'll come right away. Well, what do you know about that, Dr. Morell?
Well, what is it?
Ronnie Kavanagh's had a threatening letter now from the husband of some woman.
Ronnie Kavanagh?
Sounds quite an intriguing development.
He's in his dressing room. I'll have to go and talk to him, if you'll excuse me.
Dr. Morell, what are you going to do?
Do?
About this?
Precisely nothing, my dear Miss Frail.
Well, don't you think there's anything to it?
I had been anticipating something of this nature. It is the typical reaction one would expect from an individual of Kavanagh's temperament.
You mean?
It requires only the smallest amount of perception to realize that he wrote the letter to himself.
But why?
That will appear obvious to Mr. Digby.
You really think so?
A curious coincidence, don't you agree, that he should receive a letter couched in terms similar to Miss Desmond's? Only in this case, it's the jealous husband who threatens him.
Just a gag of his to get some publicity for himself, eh? Well, of all the stupid idiots.
He hasn't been over-original, shall we say.
Oh, didn't I tell you, Doctor? They're nothing but a persistent headache. This is what it's really like behind the scenes, Miss Frail. Having to cope with a bunch of conceited, temperamental bones.
Oh, and I've always admired Ronnie Kavanagh. I thought he was much better than Helen Desmond.
No doubt, Miss Frail, you would.
Well, I'll have to go and placate him anyway, or he'll come charging up here like yesterday. If you'd wait here, I'll be as quick as I can.
Very well.
What an extraordinary way to behave, Dr. Morell.
I've already explained it's no more than I expected of him.
I wasn't thinking of Ronnie Kavanagh. I meant Miss Desmond. I think she's awful. Dr. Morell.
What?
Do you see what I see in the waste paper basket?
What is it?
This cardboard box. It had that perfume in it. The strong stuff Miss Desmond used last night. That means he sent it to her, Mr. Digby.
Indeed.
It must be. She said that it had been made exclusively for her.
Most interesting. And what do you deduce from it?
Why, that Mr. Digby's in love with her, too.
Well, I imagine you can hardly take it for granted in these somewhat exotic circles in which we find ourselves that the gift of perfume necessarily has anything to do with love.
Oh. No, perhaps not. Oh, dear, I thought I'd made an important discovery.
All that you've discovered is that the office cleaner omitted to empty the waste paper basket this morning.
Oh, I thought Mr. Digby was...
Oh, he's gone down to see Mr. Kavanagh.
Oh.
He won't be long.
Oh, excuse me, that's my phone.
What is it, Doctor? Have you got a cold coming on?
What makes you think so?
You were sniffing.
Yes, Mr. Digby, I'll call him. Dr. Morell, quickly, please.
Something's happened.
It's Mr. Digby, Doctor. He sounds very upset.
Hello, Dr. Morell here. You're in her dressing room. I'll come straight away.
What is it, Doctor?
Miss Desmond. She's disappeared.
I'd had a word with Kavanagh, Dr. Morell. Said we'd go into this letter business just to placate him, and then I looked in here to see how Helen was.
You left Kavanagh in his dressing room?
Yes, he's still there.
But Miss Desmond must be somewhere.
Well, I waited, and then when she didn't turn up, I phoned round the studio. No one's seen her at all. I began to panic.
Oh, she was perfectly all right when we left her, wasn't she, Dr. Morell?
That was a matter of half an hour ago.
She was rehearsing her lines for the scene she was going to do.
I've got a funny feeling about all this.
Oh, she can't have got far. She's left the top of the bottle of perfume. Ooh, it's strong.
I should have insisted she wasn't left for a minute. But none of the dresses will work for her. She drives them all up the wall.
There are no signs of any struggle.
Struggle?
If she had been attacked and spirited away, there would be some indication.
Besides, she'd have screamed out.
Oh, she certainly would.
Which suggests that either she knew her assailant or someone could have crept in behind her. I'd given her a sedative earlier on. It might have had a delayed action effect. She might have dozed off in her chair.
Dr. Dr. Morell, the wardrobe.
What is it?
The door's opening.
Helen, it's her.
They've tied a scarf round her face.
Let's get her onto the couch. Oh,
Dr. Morell, is she...
She's all right.
Oh, she might have suffocated.
She's coming round.
Oh. She's opening her eyes.
What happened? Dr. Morell, what happened?
You're quite safe, Miss Desmond.
You're okay, Helen.
What happened? I remember I was going over my lines, and then I must have dozed off.
We think you may have fainted. Oh. The strain of what you've gone through. Mr. Digby? Hmm?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's it, Helen. You just passed out for a few minutes.
We came in a moment ago to find you unconscious.
Oh, but you're all right now, Miss Desmond. Just stay quiet for a while.
Oh, my head feels so muzzy, as if it's been in a sack.
Now, relax, Helen. Just take it easy.
Where are you going, Dr. Morell?
I'll be only a few minutes.
I'll come back soon. I feel scared when you aren't with me.
Come in.
I'm Dr. Morell, Mr. Kavanagh.
I saw you in Digby's office yesterday afternoon. Has he sent you about this threatening letter I've had?
Not exactly.
He told me you're investigating Helen Desmond's.
I am. But the threat you've received sounds so much more dangerous. I recommend that the police be called in.
The police? Oh, but that is...
They will probe the matter.
Dr. Morell, I might as well come clean. I sent the letter to myself, a sort of joke, you understand. Not in very good taste, I suppose.
Not particularly.
So let's forget all about it, shall we? I mean, I'm sorry and all that.
Just as you wish.
How about Helen? Or is that all a fake, too? One of Digby's bright ideas.
I rather fancy it's genuine.
I wonder if Ashton wrote it. He hates her. The writer, you know.
I've heard of him.
As a matter of fact, I thought they were quarreling just now. She was telling someone to clear out of her dressing room. Get out, I heard her say, and don't ever come back.
She actually said that?
I didn't hear the other chap's voice, but I'll bet it was Ashton. His office is just along the corridor, if you're interested. Why not ask him?
Thank you, Kavanagh. I will.
Come in. Hello, you're Dr. Morell?
And you are Mr. Ashton?
Portrait of a screenwriter with nose to the grindstone. Now, here you've been called in on the Helen Desmond business.
That is so.
And the best of luck. Cheap publicity stunt, if you ask me. I wouldn't put it past someone trying to do her in.
You don't sound very charitably disposed to her yourself.
Can't stand the sight of her, and she knows it. She's a fake and a phony, and I spend my life ruining my dialogue so that she can speak it. Listen to this, Dr. Morell. These are her lines for the scene they're shooting this afternoon. Stay away from me and never come back. Get out and never come back. What's so funny?
Well, I was smiling merely because that's what Kavanagh overheard her saying just now.
What of it?
He thought she was quarreling with you.
Typical of him not to realize he was rehearsing her lines. The only lines he ever thinks about are his own.
Thank you for your information, Mr. Ashton. You've been very helpful.
Very smart of you, Dr. Morell. Not to let Helen know what had happened to her.
I thought it wiser.
Oh, she'd have gone off into terrific hysterics. The end of any work today before she'd even started.
That was what I foresaw.
We'd never have got her onto the set if she'd realized she'd been attacked.
Dr. Morell thinks of everything.
How about a cup of tea, Miss Frey?
Oh, yes, please. I'd love some.
I meant to ask you when we came back here. You too, Dr. Morell.
Thank you.
Get some tea for us, Miss Curtis, will you? Oh, and get me stage 3, Mr. Harris, on the line.
Yes.
Well, I suppose the next thing, Dr. Morell, is to call in the police.
You really believe that is necessary?
But we daren't risk a repetition of what happened just now. If we hadn't been there, she'd have suffocated to death.
I think we can now prevent it from occurring again.
How? Oh, excuse me. This will be Harris from the set. He's the assistant director. Harris? Mr. Digby here. How's it going? Is Miss Desmond okay? Fine. Oh, just to check that we're keeping to schedule. She's okay.
Good.
But you were saying, Doctor, you were on to something.
Dr. Morell, you know who it is. I can tell by that look on your face.
Is that so? Well, I look, for Pete's sake, who is it?
You see, Mr. Digby, jealousy is an emotion that can assume several forms. One can be jealous of someone for a variety of reasons. It is argued by some, in fact, that without jealousy there can be no love, an argument invariably favored by those who are themselves of a jealous disposition. But then again, there are those who are envious of another's success. An actor, for instance, who, because he is vain and petty-minded, and these two characteristics go together, cannot bear to see another person overshadowing him in the same profession.
Ronnie Kavanagh. So it was him all the time.
Shh, he hasn't finished yet.
Then there exists another kind of jealousy, perhaps the most difficult to comprehend and therefore to root out. That of someone whose mind is unbalanced, who becomes filled with a hopeless, insane jealousy festering within until it finally erupts into an act of evil, stupid violence.
The tea, Mr. Digby.
Thank you, Miss Curtis.
The sort of jealousy which you entertain for Miss Desmond. Insane, unreasoning.
Dr. Morell.
I am addressing you, Miss Curtis.
Me? What about...
You! It was you who wrote that threatening letter and who attacked Miss Desmond.
Yes. Yes, it was me.
You?
Miss Curtis.
I did it. I hated her. I always have done. She had everything. All the men were in love with her. I didn't try to kill her. I don't know what I meant to do. I just had to hurt her in some way.
Poor Curtis. You know something, Dr. Morell? I couldn't help feeling sorry for her.
Well, I'm gratified to hear it, my dear Miss Frail. It is the proper attitude to have towards someone suffering from such a deranged mind. Mm,
frankly, I wasn't thinking of that so much as...
Your dislike for Miss Desmond, is that what you meant?
It's all wrong of me, I know. But I felt that she deserved everything she got. All that luxury and glamour, and even then she wasn't happy.
Which means that she, too, and others like her, need understanding.
I just can't agree. How can you waste a moment's sympathy on someone who's so bogus and vulgar... That dreadful perfume she used.
It was that which enabled me to lift the threat that was terrifying her.
Whatever do you mean?
I thought I'd made it clear to you.
You know, Dr. Morell, you never tell me anything.
Oh, perhaps you weren't in the office when I explained to the others. It was the overpowering perfume Miss Desmond was wearing that gave Miss Curtis away. It was on her as she came into the office when you and I were there alone.
After Mr. Digby had dashed off to Ronnie Kavanagh.
I smelt Helen Desmond's exclusive perfume... clinging to her then.
Oh, so that was what you were sniffing.
Well, how else could she have come by it, except by being in close proximity with Miss Desmond?
Oh, that was very clever of you to have spotted it. Now, if that's Miss Desmond asking you to have dinner with her tonight, I shall say that you're out. Hello? This is Dr. Morell's house. Oh, Mr. Digby. Oh, how awfully kind of you. Oh, Mr. Digby, I'd love it. Thank you so much. Yes, goodbye.
I hope that doesn't mean that you're about to leave my employ to become a film star, Miss Frail.
No, thanks. I've seen all I want of film stars. No, Mr. Digby's making me a present of some lovely perfume.
That was another adventure in a BBC series featuring Ernest Dudley's famous character, Dr. Morell, and, of course, his secretary, Miss Frail. The artists taking part were Dr. Morell, Cecil Parker, Miss Frail, Sheila Sim, Helen Desmond, Rosalind Knight, Miss Curtis, Cecile Chevreau, Ronnie Kavanagh, John Horsley, the maid, Annette Kelly, Mr. Ashton, Norman Wynne, Hal Digby, John Sharpley. This recorded program was produced by Leslie Bridgemont.